Back among you here. Appreciate you. I bet that does that. Yeah. Appreciate your pastor. So thankful for that prayer, Brother Joseph. It's been mentioned several times that I feel at home here, that I feel loved. Well, I do. As you prayed that, Brother Joseph, I thought of a song verse. Oh, give me a place with the humblest of saints. For lo, at thy feet I would lie. What's been on my mind last few weeks, I don't know, maybe a month, has been just the tendency of God's people to get down. Several in church I pastor, dealing with some cases of depression. I've struggled with some panic attacks myself from time to time. And when I do that, I tried to center myself and center my thoughts on God and how good He is. Been on my mind about Elijah. I tried to preach a little of that at Providence last weekend. And Elijah thought he was all alone in the world. He says, I am alone. They killed all the prophets and I'm alone. But God told him, He's reserved unto him 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal, to the image of Baal. And then in Romans 11, it tells us, even so at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And as I've thought on this and pondered these things on just our nature, oh, we're so prone to get down in this world. I tell you, there's not a better place to come than the house of the Lord. And how important it is. And I thought of all in the Scripture who, when faced with overwhelming circumstances, in the first chapter of Job, after he received all of the devastating news, it says he fell down and worshiped. He fell down and worshiped. And he said, naked came I into this world, naked shall I return. The Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Oh, we hear that quoted a lot, but people stop there. But here's where the worship is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I tell you, whenever we can center our thoughts and focus our thoughts on our God, oh, it tells us to set your affection on things above. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. This world is full of strife, full of sin, full of woe and misery, and it's just waxing worse and worse. But I tell you, I don't really, it doesn't do much for me when a preacher gets up here and tells us how bad the world is. We know it. We're there. But I tell you, whenever he can lift, when the Lord can bless him with the powerful preaching to lift up his God, that we'll forget about the things in this world and see our Lord and Savior exalted. I tell you, then we can say it's good to come to the house of the Lord, to the house. Oh, the servant of Abraham, when he went to get a wife for Isaac. He says, I, being in the way, having been led to the house of my master's brethren. Brothers and sisters, it is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing every time we assemble. Oh, and I just want God's children to know how important the church is. And I'm just talking about the aspects we get. If we didn't get a thing, we should be here anyway. Let's go to the 96th Psalm. I beg an interest in your prayers this morning, and I will give you some good news. This morning, Cody was having trouble eating his biscuit, and I told him, "You eat that biscuit, I won't preach over an hour." And that boy scarfed it down. So, I'm not usually long-winded, but I sure don't want to start now after I made a promise like that. Pray for us this morning. 96th Psalm. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. That's what's been on my mind most recently. I tell you, whenever I see these things, I like to think about who wrote them. I believe, yes, God inspired these men to write them, but they were going through experiences. And I tell you, David had it up his ups and downs, didn't he? We find David in the, I believe, 42nd Psalm. Oh, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Talk about someone who's down. He says, hope thou in God. Then we go over to the 73rd Psalm, maybe. We'll see. It's 73rd, 63rd, somewhere in there. Maybe 6th. Everything runs together in my mind. Yes, 73rd. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. This is an altogether different situation. You know, and sometimes I read this and be like, well, that's just weird. But I tell you, the wicked in the world, they don't have the struggles that you and I have. When they sin and commit a sin against God, they don't have a guilty conscience. They don't have a warfare that we have. And they just go about eating and drinking and being merry, for tomorrow they die. And this here, he says, I was envious. My feet, as for me, my steps had well nigh slipped. But then he goes on down, he says, after he goes through all his struggles here, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Then verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. And in understanding therein, I believe there's an understanding of what we are saved from. But this man, Asaph was his name. He was down and depressed. But then he went in to the house, to the sanctuary, he said. But here, back in the 96th Psalm, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. As I read that, I thought about His name. His name. And I tell you, I believe you could preach years on His name. There's all kinds. But I want to go through some of them that the Lord would lead me to go through this morning. Cody quoted one to me a few days ago, and I want to start there in Isaiah 9 and 6. For a very well-known verse, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. We all know this verse. Oh, but I tell you, may we go through it. May we meditate on it. May we dwell on these things. His name is Wonderful. I tell you, I loved hearing Brother Dan Bryant on the Wednesday night Zoom service this last week. And I just thought, how many times did he say something and said, isn't that wonderful? And I tell you, how uplifting that is. And how uplifting is it when we can think on Him who is called, one of His names is called Wonderful. Oh, I tell you, it doesn't take much Greek for this old Texan to figure out. Full of wonder. Full of wonders. Oh, me and Jamie was talking about all the wonders of the world. Seven, she knows all the seven wonders, she said. She asked me about some of them. The eighth wonder of the world was Astrodome. I know that. But I tell you, His name is Wonderful. Oh, think about that aspect when you think about the Lord Jesus. Oh, I tell you, how wonderful was it that He was born of a virgin. That He, of humble beginnings, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He didn't come into this world with a fanfare of humans at least. I tell you, He came in with angels declaring His glory. Wonderful it is. But I tell you, every step as He grew and He walked this world, it was wonderful. Can you think of some people? I can. And just how wonderful they are to you. How sweet they are to you. I was thinking about, you know, I asked for prayers for Sister Frances at home. She had a fall this week and has a fracture in her pelvis. And I thought, she's just one of those people where she's just wonderful. She's the sweetest, one of the sweetest people I know. But I tell you how much more. You know why she is? You know why all those you are? Because they have Christ in you, the hope of glory. They have wonderful in them. Oh, His name was Wonderful. He walked this world with the scoffers would come at to Him constantly. And He never spoke a word against them in sin. A sinful word. He never had a sinful thought. He went all the way. Was deceived, betrayed by a kiss from Judas. Brought before a mock trial. But He opened not His mouth because He was wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. Counselor. I think of that. Well, whenever I went to school, we had principal, assistant principal, nurse, secretaries, and then there was a counselor. You could go to if you had any troubles. I tell you, there's counselors in this world. Some are good and some, I don't care too much for their opinion. But I tell you, His name is Counselor. What's a counselor have? They have counsel. He says, remember in Isaiah 46, the former days of old. For I am God and there is none like me. Saying, my counsel shall stand. His counsel shall stand. What does it tell us in Proverbs 3? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Oh, I tell you, do we not fret and worry ourselves needlessly? When if we'll just go to the Lord in prayer, He'll tell us what we need today. Oh, I'm reminded of in 115th Psalm, it tells us about the Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And then it talks about all the idol gods. And it says, eyes have they, but they see not. And I tell you, I like to think about the converse of that. Well, our God does have eyes. And His eyes are on His people, and His eyes can see it all. I tell you, whenever you're in a battle, you want someone with who can see the battlefield, who can see all the layout of it. I tell you, our Lord, there's nothing. There's nothing that happens that He doesn't know about. Oh, may we go to Him, the Counselor, and may He direct our paths. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I tell you, it's a mystery. It's a great mystery. But I tell you, I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ is Mighty God. Oh, it tells us in Isaiah 53. No, 63. I always get those two mixed up. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Basra? Who this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. I tell you, our Lord is mighty. That's His name, the Mighty God. Oh, all these things in the context of give unto the Lord the glory, do unto His name. These are some of His names. And I tell you, when we can see those names and see the attributes of them and apply them to our lives, I tell you, then, oh, may we impart, just give all the glory we can in this world. The Mighty God, the everlasting Father. I tell you, that tells us right now that He is the Godhead. He is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I am in my Father and my Father in me. I tell you, I can't get too much in these. These things are just too much for me almost. But I tell you, He is the everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, in this world, we need peace. We need peace. We don't live in a peaceful world. And I'm not even, you know, I remember one of my, I don't want to get in politics here, but someone was talking about why he didn't think a war was right or where. Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's a peaceful man. But we talked about it. He's a God of war, too. And this isn't talking about the peace. Whenever the angel says goodwill towards man, peace on earth, goodwill. They're not talking about nations and getting along with them. I tell you, they're talking about peace between God and man. And I tell you, that's where we needed peace. And that's where He has given us. And it tells us, justified by faith, wherein we, being justified by faith, we have access to this grace wherein we stand. And I can't even think, there's peace in there somewhere, but I can't remember where. So I'm going to go over there. We have peace. There it is. I even said it, didn't I? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. I tell you, the Prince of Peace made peace between God and man. And whenever we worship His name, whenever we give unto Him the glory due unto His name, there's a returning, and it grants us peace. Oh, that we know wherein the grace we stand. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These are some of His names. Now we can go back. In the seventh chapter of Isaiah, But let's just go over to Matthew 1, where it quotes that. Angel came unto Joseph. While he thought on these things, verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. He came to this world, and he took on the nature of Abraham, of Adam, because that's who he came to save. Give unto him the glory due unto his name. Now I want to go over to Philippians. Chapter 2. I'll start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Brothers and sisters, I believe there's coming a day when every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. Oh, but I tell you, I like to think on the meantime. In the meantime, it tells us there's a song we sing. And it says, how sweet the name of Jesus. And then it says, till then, I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are in the till then. We're going to worship his name forevermore in eternity. And I tell you, everyone's going to know who he is in the end. Even those that are going to hell, they're going to know him. They're going to know who he is at that day. But I tell you, all thanks be unto God, I believe. And I believe I'm standing before a people that are going to be with him forevermore. And you're going to bless and praise his name forevermore. You're going to sing. You're going to sing with perfect voice up there. I don't know what all we're going to do, but I know it tells us, when I awake with thy likeness, we'll be satisfied. I know he told the thief on the cross, verily thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the till then right now. I'm talking about how do we get through this world. And I tell you, it's bowing our knees to him right now. That's worshiping his name. It's giving unto him the glory due unto his name. I tell you, when we can focus on him, all the troubles of this world just fade off into the background. I tell you, I don't like watching the news much. I remember my granddaddy in his old age. He would watch Fox News 24/7, and he's just in a bad mood all the time with the condition of this world. And I'd say, quit watching that. This world, it's the same stuff. If they got to give you news 24 hours, they're going to have to make some of it up. So I don't want to hear it. But I tell you, set our affection on things above. Worship him in this world, in the mill. Till then, I would thy love proclaim. I tell you, he's given him a name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Oh, I tell you, brothers and sisters, may we spend all our days doing this, spend all our days bowing unto Him. Oh, what do we see? Oh, often I think on these eyes, what they've seen in this world, the violence and everything. And here I go, I tell you not to worry about that, but I keep bringing it up. But I'm just trying to prove a point here. Oh, I think about the things these eyes have seen, and I think about those that are older than me. Oh, I was telling someone at work, my uncle, my granddaddy's oldest brother, he lived to be 98, Uncle Leland. He taught me how to hunt and everything. He was just, we were buddies, man. I tell you, he was a great influence on my life. And I remember one morning we were going hunting. He told me, boy, if you see as much change in your life as I did in my life, you're going to see a lot. And he was just talking about, he saw them go from horses to cars to a man walking on the moon. Oh, but I tell you, think about the sin. Now, I tell you, I'm starting to do something I don't like whenever people talk about how bad it is these days. Well, it tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, it's not profitable to say that. It's not to say these days are better than the old days. I tell you, it was a sinful world then, it's a sinful world now. But I tell you, the longer we live in it, the more these eyes see. And it vexes our souls. It gets us down. And even when we turn and see ourselves sometimes, it gets us down. You know, I say sometimes one of my goals, I guess, one of them as a minister, that I want you to see yourself how God sees you. I want, you know how He sees you? Yeah. A lot of times, I tell you, the devil, more subtle than all the beasts in the field. Subtlety. His ways. I have a saying, he works the ditches. He wants you to feel so rotten about yourself that you can't even get up. I reckon the devil was after Elijah pretty good whenever he laid under that juniper tree and says, it's good for me to die. Job, in his troubles, he says, it'd have been better if I'd never been born. And the devil's tools and tricks will get you just to focus on your sinful nature, perhaps. How can you? You know, and you can see it in the ministry. Well, one thing I try not to do is get up here and tell you how rotten a man I am. I always heard you don't got to get up there and tell them how bad of a preacher you are. They'll figure it out soon enough. None of us. I tell you, brother, whenever you said that, and brother Joseph Shouse shouted, pray for Mississippi or whatever, about Mississippi, and you I thought of something that someone told me one time. Said, I won't use any names, but she cooked good breakfast this morning. In joking, she said, Texas has the singers, but Mississippi has the preachers. Well, I tell you, I do consider this a great blessed area of servants of God. Some of my greatest friends and those I look up to in the ministry are right here in this area, in this building right now. But I tell you, they're just men. They're men. And the devil's after you. He's after them. He's trying to focus on their faults and tell them how rotten, how unprepared, or whatever. I tell you, every time, I don't know if it's, I'm like, is it going to be like this forever? Where I will study something and be all excited about it, and Sunday morning or right before it's time to preach it, I get up and say, this is rotten. This is not even going to work. I tell you, negativity is a tool of the devil. Focus on you. That's it right there. All of this. Focus on you. He wants you to focus on you. You're going to find yourself wanting if you focus on you. But I tell you, if you can give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, if you can set your affection on things above, I tell you, you'll see His power. You'll see His power in a minister. You'll see His power in a congregation. You'll see His power in a church body. I tell you, God. God's power. What does He say in 1 Corinthians? Basically talking about, I came not with you with excellency of speech, not with declaring the testimony of God. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then later on He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear. Just look at, this is the Apostle Paul. Look who the Lord used. Brother Luke, Brother Luke Addison, what he told me the night before I was ordained. You remember? The Lord calls scoundrels to preach the gospel. Now, thank you, brother. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Brothers and sisters, when we can turn our thoughts away from self and turn them on to God, when we can forget about all these trials we see in our trials. Oh, I tell you, set your affection, it says, on things above. And I think about what we see in this world, and I was talking about my uncle and all the things he's seen. Then I think about Hebrews 2. It says, Thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest Him with glory and honor, and didst set Him over Thy works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not, yet all things put under Him. He says the last enemy that's going to be defeated is death. We hadn't seen that yet. But He does say this in verse 9, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. I don't like to give Brother Philip credit, but he did bring out the points of comma inserted phrases. So we're going to, first of all, read the comma. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels with glory and... We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's the comma. Then it says crown. So this is how we see Him. Yes, He was made a little lower than the angels, and thank God for that. But we, when we're blessed, when we come in, when we give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, but we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I tell you what a blessing it is to see Jesus. What did they come to the disciples? They said, Oh, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is such a blessing that we have a place. If you want to see someone, where do you go? Well, you go to their house, right? I got that from Brother James. I guess since I'm here, I got to give credit to where I get steal things from. If I steal it from him. But I tell you, that's where we want to be. You want to go see someone, you go to his house. And I tell you, I want to spend all my days. There's so much to get us down in this world. I tell you, I want to give glory due unto His name. I want to go one more place here in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory. You know, that's a word I've often tried to figure out, glory. And I just can't come up with a definition that satisfies. I think it's one of those words that's just above us, to me. It's above me, I'll say that. It's just all the wonderful attributes of God wrapped up in one. His glory, given to Him the glory. But here it says, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who, being the brightness of His glory. Remember, Moses said, he's got a job that's above him. He can't do it. He came up with lots of excuses. I can't talk. He says, I'll send Aaron with you. But he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he says there, no man can see my face and live. But there is a place. There is a place. And just like he told Elijah, I have reserved unto myself 7,000. There's a remnant. Even now, it tells us in Romans, even now there's a remnant according to the election of grace. I tell you, brothers and sisters, there's still a place. There's still a place now. With Moses, he said, I'll put thee on a rock, and I'll set thee in the cleft of the rock. And I will put my hand over thee, and I will cause my goodness to pass by. We can't see His face and live. But I tell you, He shows us sometimes all that we can. And back to Elijah, whenever he was under that tree, he said, arise and eat. And he ate twice. And it says he went by the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. Brothers and sisters, when you arise and eat, when you come into the Lord's house, you're going to leave here stronger. Strong. You should. Stronger than when you came in. Oh. That's what I want God's children to know. Stop worrying about focusing on yourself. Look up. Look up. What does He say in Luke 21? When you see all these things begin to come to pass, nations rising against nations, men's hearts failing them for very fear, it says, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. God's children, God's people have struggled ever since there were God's people. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. And brothers and sisters, may we spend all our days giving unto Him the glory due unto His name. I thank you. Come ahead.